W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Columbia University has agreed to President Trump's demands to have its federal funding restored.
The Trump administration had pulled $400 million in research grants and threatened even more over the university's handling of protests against Israel's military campaign in Gaza.
CBS's Linda Kenyon says the school will ban masks and make changes in its Department of Middle Eastern Studies. There was a tense court hearing this afternoon on whether the administration violated a judge's order not to deport alleged members of a Venezuelan gang. CBS's Erica Brown.
Judge James Boasberg chastised the Department of Justice, pushing for answers about how those who could be wrongfully detained as a result of the deportations could challenge the actions.
CBS's Charlie Daggett has the latest on a huge new defense contract.
In a place where it's hard to keep secrets, this has been one of the best kept secrets. The next generation air dominance platform, the F-47, it's been awarded to Boeing.
No word how much those planes will cost. CBS News Brief, I'm Michael Wallace.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. More than 3 million deaths are reported to the Social Security Administration each year, and they say the agency's records are highly accurate. Here's Joanne Krulotz.
Of these millions of death reports received each year, less than one-third of 1% are erroneously reported deaths that need to be corrected. Deaths are reported to Social Security primarily from the states, but also from other sources, including family members, funeral homes, federal agencies, and financial institutions. In a 2008 audit report, the IG noted that SSA receives most death reports from funeral homes or friends and relatives of the deceased. SSA considers such first-party death reports to be verified and immediately posts them to the Death Master file. Instances when a person is erroneously reported as deceased to Social Security can be devastating to the individual spouse and dependent children. Benefits are stopped in the short term, which can cause financial hardship until fixed and benefits restored, and the process to prove an erroneous death will always seem too long and challenging. If a person suspects that they have been incorrectly listed as deceased on their Social Security record, they should contact their local Social Security office as soon as possible. They can locate their nearest Social Security office at ssa.gov/agency/contact. They should be prepared to bring at least one piece of current original form of identification. Social Security takes immediate action to correct its records, and the agency can provide a letter that the error has been corrected that can be shared with other organizations, agencies, and employers.
For additional information, visit ssa.gov and search for What to Do When Someone Dies. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Badgers beat Montana. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin men's basketball team with a win over the Montana Grizzlies. The final 85-66 in favor of the Badgers. Guard John Blackwell led scoring with 19 points. Stephen Crowell with 18. And asked how he was more aggressive in the second half under the basket.
Credit to my coaches and my teammates for being on me about staying aggressive. Like you said, in the second half, finally got it going a little bit inside. And obviously we knew we had the size advantage.
So the Badgers move on. They play Brigham Young tomorrow night at 6:25. Cleveland, it's the Marquette Golden Eagles against New Mexico tonight. NBA, the Bucks dominated a shorthanded Lakers team, 118-89. Doc Rivers' reaction to LA resting four of their top players, including LeBron and Luka Doncic.
Your only concern is that your guys just keep their focus. They've had a brutal schedule, and so they had the rest guys somewhere. Picking an East Coast team is smarter than picking a West Coast team.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mostly clear sky tonight, a low in the mid-teens. Sun to start Saturday, then some clouds for the afternoon, high in the upper 30s. Rain moving in Sunday, the wind picks up, high in the mid-40s. Rain to snow in the late afternoon and evening. It's 46 right now.
The madness.
Blackwell inside and he sends it down with the right hand.
Continues.
Sanjay with bad intentions.
Productions.
It's the NCAA Tournament.
The Wisconsin Badgers will advance to the round of 32.
Join us tomorrow, live from Denver, Colorado. It's Wisconsin and BYU. Our coverage begins at 5:30 on your home for Wisconsin basketball. The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show.
Let's go to Ollie in the North Woods. Ollie, hiccups or gas, what's worse?
Well, I'd like to frame my answer in the form of a sports. It depends upon whether you're a passer or a receiver.
That's great. Whether you're the passer or the receiver, that's the best line of the day.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will take a look at our NCAA basketball brackets after weekend number 1. Also, the news of the weekend. Get you caught up. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who considers a silver medal a participation award, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. There are no participation awards in the NCAA tournament. It's one and done, baby. No certificates, no plaques. I guess the participation award is just making the tournament.
Yeah,
right. Say, that's kind of a cool thing.
I mean, usually if you're in like, let's just say the Horizon League or someone like that, you're the only one coming out of there. So that's got to mean you won the tournament for the Horizon League. So that means you did something good.
I have never heard of the Horizon League. I'm going to assume you're not making that up, but good for anybody who makes the tournament.
Green Bay's in it. Come on. And Milwaukee's in it.
Oh, that Horizon League. I thought you meant the one. Okay, I got you. Green Bay, UWGB Men's is in the Horizon League?
Yes.
Oh, no kidding.
Okay. So is UW Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's a great league. It's a fine league. Yeah. What you were telling me earlier, there's some kind of cool stuff, the Green Bay women's team. What's happening there?
Well, they made the tournament in the women's March Madness, and they play tomorrow at 12:30 against Alabama, which is not a good draw.
It's a tough draw. What will that be on? Like, will they?
Oh yeah.
Yep. Okay.
It's broadcasted ESPN just like you know the men's,
right?
And tomorrow the men's don't have as many games now.
I gotta be honest. I would rather watch that than two teams I don't know. Like, I would totally cheer on the. Even though they're in the Horizon League, which I'm not a fan of that league, obviously, but the Green Bay women's team, I think that would be a phenomenal game.
I'm definitely going to tune into it tomorrow.
How many screens you got going over there at Casa de Conrad?
Well, I just got one, but I got YouTube TV, which has the multi-view. So it's like four screens on one.
Okay. Yeah,
and then I have like my laptop to the side with the one game I for sure won on.
All right. The biggie.
The big one.
I cannot believe, this is Nightlight, folks. We are talking about the NCAA tournament, which is entertainment. And it's one of the most entertaining things all year. This was our question last night. And here's the sad thing, okay? I love this tournament. I love sports. But I love a perfect movie even better. I almost turned off a close game last night to watch To Live and Die in L.A., which is this week's classic movie pick of the week. Yeah. And I had to force myself not to do that because I've seen To Live and Die in L.A. 10 times. And I don't know what's going to happen in the game. So that's unwritten history. So I stuck with the game. But it's very entertaining. The tournament so far, you got McNeese State. There's a couple good upsets, right?
McNeese yes.
Colorado State.
I mean, surprisingly, a lot of people did actually have McNeese winning against Clemson. Because Clemson lost a big player on their team. And honestly, did you watch that game?
No. Weren't we on the air? Or was that right before?
Maybe no, that was before.
I was in the car, maybe.
I mean, it just did not look like they even wanted to be there.
Who, McNeese?
No, Clemson.
Oh, Clemson. Okay.
You know, honestly, it felt like they didn't even win their ACC.
Conference tournament?
Yeah, but it just didn't look good.
We got an upset brewing here. Florida is only up 19 on Norfolk State with 10 minutes left to go in the first.
There was actually a really exciting game today, which it wasn't even the upset I'm talking about either.
Colorado State.
It was Ole Miss and North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
North Carolina was down 22, and they brought it back to a two-point game. Fortunately, lost still.
Yeah.
But it was some great basketball. But one of the reporters said, you know, people talk about how they had many opportunities. They could have won this game, but it's like the first half was terrible. They were down by 22. That's the reason they lost, not because they missed opportunities.
Right. I can't believe, I think I'm in three brackets. I'm crushing in one, purely luck. I'm getting crushed in another, all skill. and then the Civic Media one, I have to figure out a way to check, because if I had picked all the right upsets in one bracket, that's what you want to do. The problem is I've got this upset going here, and I don't know that it's going to produce a winner for me. But I picked North Carolina in all of my brackets because I thought they're going to tick people off. Nobody wanted them in. They got in. Now I know they're going to win because that's what North Carolina or Duke does. But North Carolina lost, so it's a non-issue.
I can tell you what place you're in the Civic Media pool.
Oh, lay it on me.
25th.
Out of how many?
Well, there's a lot, but like 4, a lot 000? Of people are tied for places. I'm in last.
You're in last place?
With Jimmy Kesko, which is hilarious because we're
sports fanatics. Yeah. Yeah, I don't, 25th, there's got to be what, 50 people? Am I middle of the pack?
I would say you're down by me.
That's only that many people signed up for the Civic Media.
No, there's a lot of people. There's a decent amount.
You said you're dead last, though.
I'm dead last with Jimmy, yes.
Are you saying I'm in the lower fourth quadrant or something like
yes.
that?
Yes. Okay. So there's seven people with you in 25th. Or six, sorry.
So I'm tied for 25th with six other people.
And Jimmy and I are in dead last. I'm tied for dead last.
Man. I am in first and one. I'm tied for first with like eight other people. That was before the Colorado State upset. I don't think I picked that in that one. Yeah. So I don't, in fact, I did pick a lot of upsets early on. I do that. I try to get the upsets, and then my final four, typically, I don't think I have a seed higher than fourth in the final four. So.
Well, I totally just went for upsets in this one. I had Liscombe, who lost today by a lot.
Yeah.
Going to the Elite Eight.
Oh, wow.
Actually, yeah. So that's kind of on me.
Well, you can't get them all. Aren't you in like 30?
Yeah. I did have a perfect bracket today until Memphis lost.
I would love it if you told me. I'm in 30, but I pick the same picks in every one of them. It's like buying the same lottery ticket number, buying 100 of them. Hey, all right. Despite all this fun talk about the NCAA tournament, folks, we have a very packed show tonight. Great guests. This is going to be fun. We're gonna get out of this week and head into the weekend in style. Our first guest tonight is... at 6:35, Don Brown, the host of This Week in Waukesha. Don is does such a great job. I've been on his show a couple times, and Don is up bright and early every Saturday morning. It's such a fun show, and he tells you what's going on in Waukesha, but Don is he's got such an easy to listen to voice. It's a good show. No matter where you're from in Wisconsin, you should tune in and check out This Week in Waukesha. Don does a great job. He will be here at 6:35 talking about a new podcast he just launched. So that will be fun. I've been waiting to have Don. Don was on like 9 months ago, right?
Yeah, something like that.
I wouldn't return my calls. I don't know what's going on. And then at 7:05, Sean Hanisch will be here, the director of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. I would say a rousing success on the documentary film market. It played here in Wisconsin at Marcus Theaters and probably a few other places as well. And I believe you can stream it now on the Roku channel.
I believe so. And if you haven't watched it, it's a great watch. If you love baseball or just love the Brewers, you got to check it out.
I have not seen it yet. And I was the one, like I reached out to Sean a couple days ago and I said, hey, you're just, he's got a couple screenings coming up in Wisconsin. So I assume that meant I couldn't stream it yet. And on the way in today, I'm like, wait, Roku TV? Because typically a film, when they're still on the festival circuit, they're not streaming yet. And I just kind of made that assumption, but I'll probably watch it this weekend. I'm very excited. Heard nothing but great stuff about this documentary And Sean will be here at 7:05 to tell you where you can see it in Wisconsin. He's got a couple big screenings coming up soon, and we'll get some clarification on the streaming issue as well. Sean was on the show about 5 months ago, right before they released the film. So it's always fun to talk to someone like it was with Anders Lindwall. Like, how do you feel now? The film is out. It's a success. So very anxious to have Sean back on the show. That will be fun. And then it is a Bar Band Friday night, folks. We didn't think it was going to happen because Terry Barr is on vacation. And how can we do a Bar Band Friday night without Terry Barr? I'll tell you how. We have her partner in crime on Max Inc. Radio, Rocker, will join us tonight. He is filling in for his co-host and is bringing... Rocker's doing things differently.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't roll like Terry. I don't know how those two get along on that show, but it's a long-running show. It's award-winning. They make it work. But Rocker is bringing little bits of a lot of different songs from a lot of different groups. So that'll be fun to change things up a little bit, too. Excited to have Rocker here at 7:35. Great guests, as you can tell. Today, all right, we are on a roll here, folks, with food questions. And we're going to keep that train moving. Today is National Crunchy Taco Day. National Crunchy Taco Day. Soft tacos, we have no use for you on Nightlight tonight. But this this national day that should be celebrated leads us to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your favorite Mexican food? Last night, it was what's your favorite Italian dish? Very popular question. Tonight, we're switching ethnicities, at least when it comes to food. Although Conrad might become Irish. What is your favorite Mexican food? I almost wanted to specify or drill this down a little more and ask, what is your favorite taco? Like, is it shrimp, regular taco? But I think Mexican food opens it up a little more. I like a lot of Mexican food, but here's what's going to make this question tough. I think we should play our clip from Jim Gaffigan, who can put some clarification on this.
Mexican food's great, but it's essentially all the same ingredients. So you'd always have to, as a waiter, you'd have to deal with these stupid questions. People be like, what is nachos? Nachos? It's tortilla with cheese, meat, or vegetables. Oh, well then what is a burrito? Tortilla with cheese, meat, or vegetables. But then what is a tostada? Tortilla with cheese, meat, or vegetables. Well, then what is... Look, it's all the same. Why don't you say a Spanish word and I'll bring you something. Mexican food is great, but it is all the same. It's almost a conspiracy. It's almost like they had a meeting 200 years ago in Mexico City, and one guy stood up. He was like, hey, look, the reason I got everyone here is pretty simple. I figure we could rename this one entree 7 times and sell it to the North Americans. The French said it would be a good idea.
Ah, that's great. Now, in defense of Mexican food, you could kind of say the same thing about Italian food. It's pasta, meat, red sauce. Conrad and I will give our answers when we come back after a short break. But I will say this. I don't like Mexican. I don't like refried beans.
Oh, gross.
The lard creeps me out. Yeah. I always ask. But sometimes when there's a language thing, you get mixed up when I say no refried beans. They think I want extra refried beans. So we will give you our answers when we come up. What is your favorite Mexican food? That is tonight's question of the night. We're coming right back on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Badger fans, the time-honored Crazy Legs Classic is back in Madison on Saturday, April 26th. Take on the 8K run, 2-mile walk, or 8K wheelchair race, and kick off spring with your fellow Badgers. The Crazy Legs Classic is presented by Everlight Solar, J.D. McCormick Properties, Odyssey Greek Yogurt, Mueller Sports Medicine, and WMTV 15. Sign up now for one of Madison's greatest springtime traditions on Saturday, April 26th at CrazyLegsClassic.com. That's CrazyLegsClassic.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C., and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Oh, don't you dare look back, just keep your eyes on me. I said you're holding back. She said, shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am your host, Pete Schwab. Great to have you with us, regardless of where you are joining the show from, across the state of Wisconsin, as we broadcast from beautiful downtown Green Bay. The snow is basically almost gone, basically.
There's going to be more snow on Monday.
I need to say basically more. So the Badgers play tomorrow at night.
Yeah, at 6:40.
That's kind of cool. Okay, I like that.
It's a tough matchup.
Yeah.
I think we can do it.
It is a tough matchup, but they got to be tested. They got to come out. I thought, like we talked about yesterday, a little lackluster yesterday. I didn't see any urgency. And we've got a possible upset brewing, folks. What are they winning by now?
A lot. What's they're winning 42-14.
I've lost the game. Okay. That's not comfortable for me. I you need at least a 50-point lead going into halftime.
Actually, Duke won by 50 something today. So
see, they just irritate me. That is how every team should come out. Like the Badgers should have won by 30 yesterday.
There's
a reason Duke is Duke, and I can't stand them. But I don't know. Our question tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is what is your favorite Mexican food? And I'm going to go through the whole thing. I want chips and guac to start.
Okay.
And then I want fish tacos. Maybe shrimp tacos. Just fish tacos. I trust the establishment owners. Give me some fish tacos, some lime, and some great rice. That's my Mexican. Yeah. That's my favorite Mexican food. I am a sucker for a good burrito, but I'll start with the tacos. More manageable. What about you?
I'm going to have to say this, like the same start, but I want salsa with it as well, so I can mix.
Okay. Oh, you do the guac and then the salsa.
No. Just like if I get sick and tired of guac, a little salsa.
Okay. Fair enough.
And then I'm going to go with the enchilada.
Enchilada.
I just love that sauce on top. I forget what it's even called, but
that's the nuance. Like,
is that cheese, right?
Like queso or something?
Queso on top. It's so good.
I think that's not specific. I think it just depends on from restaurant to restaurant.
Yeah,
Don Brown, our guest at 6:35, checks in on the stream. He says steak enchiladas, homemade guac, steak burrito. Don just gave us three choices, and they're all delicious.
We forgot. What are you going to wash it down with if you're at a Mexican restaurant?
Well, typically, a couple years ago, it would have been a humongous margarita with double the tequila. Because I can only drink margaritas if they're not that sweet. So it sounds like I have a problem, but I like the double tequila. Yeah. It's just very tasty. What do you do?
You got to go with the margarita.
Yeah.
There was one time, I think it was my dad who did this. You put the Corona in the margarita. Like the Corona's upside down in it. I forget what it's like. I forget what it's called. I'll have to look it up. But my dad had that once. I was like, what is that monstrosity?
There is a name for that. It's called insanity.
Yeah.
Steve, come on. Wow, really?
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, look that up. So we just heard Jim Gaffigan's Mexican bit. Very funny bit. But a lot of those, you could kind of say that about a lot of different ethnic foods too, I think, that it's all the same stuff. But that's our question tonight, folks. Be part of the show. What is your favorite Mexican dish? It is National Taco Day on the text line. Anna from Madison says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite Mexican food is cheese enchiladas with beans and rice washed down with a Dos Equis Mexican beer. If there is room, a flan for dessert. Anna with the detail. I love it. Yeah, the rice. I love Mexican rice. Monica from Mount Horeb says, cheese and jalapeno tamales.
Oh.
Followed by tres leches cake.
I forgot about tamales.
I don't think I'm saying that right.
Oh.
You know what? I have a weird thing about tamales. When I was a kid, I was so unfussy about what I ate. And I grew up in the city of Chicago on the northwest side. There was a trailer about three blocks away. And they had, you know, Chicago dogs and beef sandwiches. They used to sell their bread for the Italian beef sandwiches. They would dunk that in the beef juice and sell it for 25 cents, two halves. And they called it dunk bread. You could pay 25 cents and eat bread soaked with beef juice. It was the most delicious thing I've ever had. But they also had the Chicago fast food tamale are these little processed.
Yeah.
I grew up eating them, so I like them better than actual tamales. How sad is that?
that kind of sucks.
It does, because I love tamales.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Monica. That's great. And she says, oh, and a guava margarita.
Oh, there you go.
Everybody going for the margaritas tonight. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, the worm on the bottom of the bottle. That's Tyler's meal. Tyler's kind of a jokester. I don't know if you picked up on that over the last Tyler likes to throw us some good stuff every once in a while. Thank you guys for the text. Keep them coming. What is your favorite Mexican meal or food? It is National Taco Day. We're celebrating that. And our food questions have done very well on the text line. People love chiming in about food. So we'll hold Don Brown's feet to the fire a little bit closer when he's here and make him specify exactly what meal he likes the best. We've got, have you been watching Reacher?
You know, I stopped watching it after season two. I don't know. Because there's three seasons now, right?
The third one is out. We're waiting, but they're doing it like it's Prime, so they're dropping it one at a time, like every week. I can't stand that.
I only have room for one show like that, and that's The White Lotus for me.
Okay.
Anything else, I'll actually lose a lot of patience.
White Lotus, there are some shows where I'm fine watching one a week. Like, if there's a cliffhanger episode, I'd like to be able to watch the first 10 minutes of the next one just to see what happens with that. But White Lotus, I'm fine with. It's just good writing, but I don't crave another episode all the time. Sometimes I want to see what happens, but I'm with you on that. Reacher, on the other hand, I like the show. I don't love the show. Season two, I didn't really like that much. But season three has one more episode to go, so I'll have to see what happens with that. And I am going to stick with Severance, I think. Those are my two shows for now. And I got to tell you, I almost got pulled over.
Oh, no.
Well, I didn't almost get pulled over. I was driving by a cop. Was doing about 80 in a 65, which is faster than I usually drive. And I don't know. I looked right at him, though. That's what I do. I don't, like, sometimes you drive by a cop and you act like you don't see him. You don't know what to. I looked right at him while I drove past, like, I know I'm going fast. Like, I was trying to fess up. All right. Don Brown is coming up, ladies and gentlemen, after Civic Media's award-winning news team tells you what's up. You're here on a great night. Sean Hannish is here. Rocker's here. And Don Brown coming up next. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Next thing I remember, I was walking down the street. I was feeling all right. I'm with my boys. I'm with my troops here. Down along the avenue, some guys were shooting pool. And I heard the sound of acapella groove.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The legislative breakfast took place at Mid-State Technical College in Wisconsin Rapids Friday morning. Four local and state officials attended to give residents an update on their work and take questions. Senator Pat Teston represents the 24th Senate District. Teston spoke to his efforts to attract more people and businesses to Wisconsin.
We are in direct competition with 49 other states, and we have to position ourselves to make the case as to why this is the best place to come and relocate, rehabitate, start a new career, start a new business.
He said we need innovative ideas to bring people here from other states or bigger cities. Representative Scott Krug from Assembly District 72 said Wisconsin Rapids has a lot of strengths despite losing the mill as an employer.
If you're over in Stevens Point and you can't find a starter home, where are you looking? Come to Wisconsin Rapids.
Krug also pointed out Solaris's high-speed internet for people looking to work from home and the bountiful lakes and parks we have in Wood County. Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher said in his first 11 months in office, he's worked to reach out to surrounding communities to increase communication.
Within the city itself, just really breaking down the silos between departments and getting the department heads to work together through mainstreaming services and make it as efficient and effective as possible.
Mayor Zacher said they're also working to upgrade the city website to be more smartphone friendly for easy communication. Senator Corey Tomchek represents the 29th Senate District and is in the middle of his first term. He said he's reintroducing his 9 bills from last year Governor Evers vetoed.
I am very interested in fixing our tax brackets and fixing the tax burden for people of the state of Wisconsin to improve our standing in the Midwest and improve everybody's lives.
All representatives encourage people to reach out and make their voices heard on the issues they care about. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's looking more and more like we should all avoid heading to the theaters to see The Alto Knights, where Robert De Niro plays gangsters Frank Costello and Vito Genovese. That's right, he plays both roles. Despite what producers thought was a solid script and Barry Levinson directing, the crime thriller is drawing only 38% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not sure if De Niro playing two roles has anything to do with it, but how hard could it have been to find another actor and not rely on a gimmick? Actress Jenny Slate initially supported her co-star Blake Lively in her sexual harassment complaints against Justin Baldoni. The three actors were all in the film It Ends With Us, where the controversy started. In a recent interview with The Hollywood Reporter, Slate, the star of Bob's Burgers and FX's new series Dying for Sex, says she only wanted to talk about her new show and will no longer discuss anything involving Baldoni, Lively, or It Ends With Us. All this drama will no doubt be a miniseries one day. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mostly clear sky tonight, a low in the mid-teens. Sun to start Saturday, then some clouds for the afternoon, high in the upper 30s. Rain moving in Sunday, the wind picks up, high in the mid-40s, rain to snow in the late afternoon and evening. It's 46 right now.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Alba Show.
L.A. Tom, L.A., what do you got for us?
We do have a woman problem in this country. There is an issue there that needs to be solved if we are ever to have a female president.
Look at Mexico has a president. You know, Margaret Thatcher. It's just all over the world.
You have to remember Margaret Thatcher. They had queens.
We have Lindsey Graham. Come on.
Wow, that's true.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll talk to the economics department chair at UW-Eau Claire about the hit Wisconsin's going to take in Donald Trump's trade war.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
We have some breaking news from the tournament, ladies and gentlemen. Conrad, let's do that. seed, Norfolk State, has cut the lead to 31. Florida is now up 52-21, but they have shaved a few points off that since we last checked. Only 3 minutes to go for the half until the half. Now it's 32 points.
I heard they're a second half team. So
they are a second half team. I don't even know if they're a team. 32 points in the first half. And then on the text line, Nick from Marshall says, pardon me, Nick from Marshall says, ground beef chimichanga and a bottle of either Jarritos or Goya soda. I hope I'm saying that right. Yeah. He says, no alcohol for me. And then continues, says, Tipsy Cow makes a really good PBR battered fish taco. Interesting. Nick's in the 608, so I assume he means that's in Madison. I love a fish taco. Well said, Nick. Gordy from Oregon, he's also in the 608, says, Play-Doh Mixto. It's not like an idiot. I don't care. I know what that is. I don't know how to say it. It's like a mixed plate, I think. Just like a sample platter. At El Pastor, South Park Street, Madison, or Mahi Fish Tacos when traveling. Gordy apparently does not like the fish tacos in Madison. So we only get some when he travels. But I love a seafood platter. You ever get one of those? Like when you're at a restaurant that has pretty decent seafood? Keep those texts coming, folks. What is your favorite? I'll try not to torture the language either, but if you want to spell it out for me, that'd be great. All right, we are going to welcome our first guest of the night. I'm very excited to have this guy, and I'm going to challenge him on something. I hope he's ready. I'm going to ask him to back up his words. He might not remember this, but I am going to say something about it. It is my pleasure to welcome back to Nightlight my pal and the host of This Week in Waukesha here on the Civic Media Radio Network, Mr. Don Brown. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Pete. How are you? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. You look great. Fantastic. You sound great. Love the living room, the baby grand in the back. Yeah. It looks fantastic. I've used that background myself.
I was about to say, I feel like you have the same piano.
Are you in my house?
This is my second home.
Country. You weekend there. You got to have a fireplace and a piano where you weekend. I agree.
Absolutely.
Hey, it's great to have you, buddy.
Really great to be here. Thanks for having me on, Pete.
So if you had to pick, you said you like steak enchiladas, homemade guac, or a steak burrito. What if you had to narrow that down? The guac you could just have with anything. Let's not even count that.
Because I love it all. It would be like if there was an authentic Olive Garden type Mexican restaurant, like family owned.
Oh, interesting.
There's that one thing at Olive Garden, the trio, where you got like your three different pastas so you can choose from.
Yeah.
I think that's what it would be for me, because I love all Mexican food. And it's just like you said, it's protein, tortillas and cheese, right?
Yeah.
And whatever that other, but I was thinking, because you said you grew up in the northwest side of Chicago, you might remember on Clark Street on the north side, I think closer to like Andersonville or Edgewater, there was one on every other block, counter service, you know, Mexican restaurant. After a long night of drinking, you'd get these like football sized burritos.
And oh, have
steak,
wow.
and beans and scrambled eggs. I mean, it was,
yes.
And you could really only eat half of it at a time. And that would, you know, soak up all the booze. And you'd wake up in the morning and you had your perfect like hangover burger, but your hangover burrito. And it was, all you had to do was heat it up. And it was
second half. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. So that was a favorite. But you mentioned that you like fish tacos, right, Pete?
Yeah.
So if we ever get you to Waukesha on a Friday, the Raised Grain Brewery right down the street from my house has this wonderful blackened cod taco.
Oh, wow.
And that's the only time they serve it during the week, is on Friday lunch from like, it's like 11 to 2 or something like that. But it's worth the trip. It's one of the best I've ever had.
That sounds amazing. I like blackened fish, almost any kind.
Me too.
And I don't remember those places you're talking about, those specifically. But when I was in college, we used to go to like, it was somewhere, now it's a gorgeous neighborhood west of the Loop. But it was a little dicey back then. But I think on the menu it said burritos the size of your head. That's what that's what we used to order. And we would just tear into it like it was a Discovery Channel kill or something, you know.
And I think all the other places just mimicked that. They saw how well they were doing and like, yeah, why not?
That's great.
So,
All right. So I have to hold your feet to the fire on something, Don.
Yes.
A few weeks ago, a couple weeks ago, last week, actually just happened. You said on the Civic Media chat, you were the most Irish of anybody at Civic Media.
I truly believe that.
How do you know that?
There's four square. I'm four square, meaning I'm like all four grandparents are of Irish descent.
Okay.
My father's parents came over from County Clare during the war for independence. And my grandfather was actually in the Civil War, got out with like,
wow,
by the skin of his teeth, and met my grandmother in Buffalo, where my family's from. And through my grandfather, I have dual citizenship. Now, brown with an E looks very English, but we're actually very Irish, so I have a hard time dealing with that. But my mother was a McNamara. Her mother was a Ryan, and her people came over during Angortha Mór, the Great Famine. And Irish married Irish for generations and worked on the railroads, most of that family. And wow. So, yeah, I'm 100%. I used to work in Ireland.
I've
been there, you know, stayed with family. Yes, I've been on several trips, and it's a real passion of mine. I've been working on I have a book idea about a great uncle of mine that was a big, you know, Gaelic football hero in Ireland, was involved in the war for independence, and that's been a 20-year project that I finally need to finish. But Irish music. When I managed in Evans, you know, when I worked with Julie,
my sister,
We had some of the best traditional music perhaps anywhere in the world. You know, Chicago is a hotbed for great traditional Irish music. And we had like some of the biggest names, John Williams, not the Star Wars John Williams,
but right.
In the Irish realm, he is that John Williams. And another Liz Carroll, who's considered one of the greatest fiddlers like in the whole world.
Very so, nice. All right. Well, you totally put me in my place, Don. You backed up your
But I
words.
Don't know. I don't know if you listen to Maggie Dawn's show, but I didn't realize she's very Irish, too. She did a whole St. Patrick's Day, kind of took a step away from politics and talked about Milwaukee's Irish heritage. And
okay,
I thought that was a great show. So hats off to Maggie.
I'm about probably 60 to 70% somewhere. I'm saddled with the last name of Schwaba. I'm not really sure, you know, but I've got my mom's a Murphy. My grandma was a Griffin. And
I can remember Julie telling me that because Julie looks very Irish.
She does. Sister. And my favorite thing, I love like Irish dancing. I grew up around all that. They would come in to the schools, the Catholic schools in Chicago. But I had whenever I would throw back a few with my Irish friends in college, sometimes that always didn't go so well. And I knew a guy who got into a fight with another guy because the other guy was from Dublin.
Oh.
And my friend was saying, I'm 100% Irish. And the guy from Dublin was saying, no, you're not. Where do you live? And he was saying Chicago. He goes, well, then you're not really Irish. They threw down, Don.
Nice.
What
the guy
Irish?
From Chicago is probably more Irish than the Viking from Dublin. So I'm with your guy from Chicago.
I didn't know who I was with. I just wanted to get out of there. But
sure.
Let's talk about some more serious radio business. You have you do a great job with This Week in Waukesha. We'll talk about that.
Thank
but you.
You
have a new podcast on. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, and that's essentially what it is. The concept This Week in Waukesha as a radio show has now gravitated away from radio now to podcast. And so I no longer have to get up at 4 a.m. to prepare for my 7 to 9 show. I do miss that, but I also miss, you know, we used to have the studio in Waukesha. So for me, as a former alderman, I used to call it the office of former alderman Don Paul Brown. And so people could come see me in person and we'd get a lot of work done for the city. It was great stuff. But now we're in this excellent studio in Racine and in radio. What do they call it? Radio City, or there's another name for it. But I don't know if you've been there yet, but it's beautiful.
I have not. I hear it's gorgeous.
It was built for radio, and it's like I felt like Howard Stern. Like a couple times I went down there to do my show. So, but Civic Media wants to make a big commitment to podcasts because they're all the rage. You know, radio obviously is still the favorite son. It's the mature offering, and having local radio is essential. But I've heard great things about podcasts. So when they approached me about moving to a podcast, I said, yeah, great, because they get great listenerships. And what's also changed is instead of a 2-hour show, it's 2 20-minute interviews in the podcast.
Okay.
And so there's no commercial breaks, none of that. I don't get to put in the music, which I miss, but you get to have some really great conversations with people that are making a difference where we live. And I always talk about, like, when I was on one of your shows previously, or I think when you were on mine, we talked about a Wisconsin state of mind that people anywhere around the state should be listening to your show. And I know you're syndicated in all of them, but I also think when people have a chance, they should listen to my podcast because you know, Waukesha is very much a big part of Wisconsin. You know, we're home to the oldest university, Carroll University. We are a second city to the state's biggest city. We're in one of the most affluent counties. A lot of things happen in Waukesha.
Yeah.
That I think, you know, they affect the rest of the state, or oftentimes are influenced by what's going on in the rest of the state. And, you know, there are so many common bonds that I've noticed as a transplant that unite us all as Wisconsinites, or cheeseheads, or badgers, if you will.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm glad to share all the great stories about Waukesha. You know, it's a birthplace of Les Paul.
Oh, yeah.
There's like so many great innovations that came out of here. You know, great music. Yeah, Rockers from Waukesha. Your next guy. I was really honored to be on the same ticket as Rocker.
Oh, wow. All right, yeah. Conrad, let's not let that get past. Yeah. We got to bring that up with
his brother, Dan, owns an authentic vinyl record store in downtown Waukesha.
Nice.
And they have really cool T-shirts.
And, okay.
Yeah, it's a really cool scene. So, I mean, there's a great music history in that family.
Guest is Don Brown. He is the host of This Week in Waukesha. And now, I'm sorry, I might have missed this, Don. Is the podcast name the same, This Week in Waukesha?
Yeah. Okay. They decided they wanted to keep the same name, and they wanted, you know, Waukesha to be a central topic. But I have guests on that aren't from Waukesha, or they may be a little further out in Waukesha County. But my guest from last week was a good friend all the way from high school, has a really important think tank out of Washington, D.C. called Truth in Common. Which basically it's a nonprofit that works with local communities, organizations, and people to teach them how to address misinformation and how to have civil conversations with people that you don't agree with politically, which we see a lot more of, unfortunately.
Okay.
And doing really important work. And I think that's relevant to Waukesha and to, you know, Wisconsin, of course. We're, you know, I guess one of those battleground states. So
absolutely. Don, Greg on the text line says, Carroll University just took a group of 30 students to Ireland. We have a biology teacher who's native Irish. Don might know him. Kevin McMahon. You've got fans talking to you on the text line. I love that.
Yeah. You know, I bet that's Greg Wansnyder, who works at, he works at Carroll.
Okay.
And he's also a, he's a Waukesha North graduate, and just a wonderful guy. He's good friends with Greg Bach, our producer.
Okay.
Who does, Up North News and Matt Nair on Air.
He must be tied in because he says the studio.
He's very tied in, yeah.
Yeah, he says the studio in Racine is called Radio Park. So Greg knows that.
Radio Park, thank you. And I can't believe I goofed on that.
He also says Waukesha is the GOAT. Don is also the GOAT.
Oh, that's very nice. Thank you. Triple G is one of his names. He could be a rapper, in my opinion.
His first name is overwhelmingly G. He's got three G's packed
three
into
G's,
a five-letter
name. Yep.
I think
hence
I love
nickname,
that.
Yep.
Greg, thank you for the text.
Born and raised and a true son of Waukesha, a very proud son of Waukesha.
That's awesome.
I'm sure Rocker knows him, too. He'll probably send Rocker a message as well.
Are you on – what do you have lined up for tomorrow morning, Don, or on the podcast?
So
for this
tomorrow
weekend?
Morning on the podcast. So the podcast, we record them at basically between 11 and 12. And then they usually go live shortly after that. And that's the nice thing about podcasts is that you can visit the page anytime and watch different, you know, there's a kind of a unique culture to podcasts. So it's like, I don't have to necessarily, in fact, I kind of have to steer away from reporting on timely news.
Yeah.
But really focus on, I mean, I'll mention things, especially historic things that are going on. So like tomorrow's show, I'll mention that, couple new restaurants that opened up in downtown Waukesha, a couple new bars.
Okay.
And we're excited about that.
Let's jump into that. Let's talk more about that. We're going to do a really short breakdown. So,
sure.
So sit tight and we'll come back and we'll talk about that Wisconsin state of mind too. I like that. Don Brown is here,
sounds
ladies
great,
and gentlemen,
Pete.
Host thank of This you. Week in Waukesha, taking some time out to join us on a Friday. We're coming right back. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more.
Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A Washington state audit of rejected 2020 mail-in ballots offers insight on whose ballots are more likely to be rejected and recommends actions to reduce that number, over 37,000 in 2024. Primary reasons for rejection include ballots received or postmarked after Election Day, a missing signature on a ballot envelope, or the voter's signature couldn't be confirmed. Auditors found 2020 rates varied from a high of 1.5% in Franklin County to 0.02% in Columbia County, but they also found higher rejections of younger voters, 18 to 21, where 2.6% of ballots were rejected, and black voters at 2.5%. They also found that non-native English speakers were 47% more likely to have ballots rejected. Signature issues can often be cured, but many voters don't or can't correct it. The auditors recommended outreach programs on college campuses, sending letters and calling voters with curable signature issues, more training on signature verification, opening early voting centers 18 days before the election, an advisory committee for disabled voters, and ballot drop boxes for every 15,000 voters. In the 2024 general election, Washington's statewide rejection rate had dropped to 0.94%, but of those, over 24,000 were rejected for a mismatched signature. Find a link to the audit at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hey, this is John Grise, also Uncle Rico, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Down, down, down.
I'm not going to give any updates on the tournament because I don't want people to like all of a sudden ditch us. Folks, all the games right now are clunkers. Don't even waste your time. I am told by CBS and their affiliates, they are expected to get pretty exciting after 8 o'clock though. So there you go. Welcome back. Sean Hannish will be here after the news at 7:05 talking about his documentary, Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, which has a couple of really cool screenings coming up here in Wisconsin.
I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, me too, Don. I just cannot wait to see.
Is it on a stream yet?
I think it is, and I think it might be available on Roku. We're going to ask Sean about that because I didn't think it was. Typically, when a film is still in its festival run, you can't get it yet, but this one might be out, so we'll find that out. And so let's talk, Don. Don Brown is here. Check out his show and his podcast, This Week in Waukesha. Did you grow up in Chicago?
I was born and raised in Buffalo, New York, in Orchard Park.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
The Green Bay of the East. I was a big Bills fan. But I did kind of grow up in Chicago because I went there in my 20s. And my mentor in the restaurant business, may he rest in peace, he had a motto that you're never too late to have a happy childhood. And that was Chicago for me during the 20s and 30s.
Love it.
I was exposed to so much great music, so many interesting people, great culture, amazing food, of course. And Chicago in many ways, Evanston in many ways was like the Buffalo of my dreams.
Evanston always reminded me a little bit of Madison. It's got kind of that cool vibe. It's vibrant. There's a great Big Ten school there. And I don't want to talk about Chicago right now, but I loved living there. I loved growing up there. When I moved to Wisconsin, I was reluctant as a kid. Love it now. I think I've lived different places. I've liked everywhere I've lived. I find people to be pretty good all over. But you and I, on your show recently, and since we both lived in Chicago, you cannot deny there is a Wisconsin. It's almost like a mentality or a state of mind or whatever. When I came up here as a kid vacationing, where I live now, it's very serene. Mm-hmm. What is that? Is it? Do you still find that living in Waukesha, or is it a Northwoods thing?
No, I mean, Waukesha's got a lot of green space. It might be one of the biggest cities geographically in the county. And my big joke was that the county got tired of running out of names for the towns. And they said, screw it, let's just call it Waukesha. Be done. But there is, it's neat because it's a city of 70,000 people. As I mentioned, it's got a great university. the downtown is really thriving. Yeah, I know when you have Rocker on the show, he'll talk about a time when downtown was all boarded up, and he used to get some great rental fees on a lot of the bands there. Got some great studio rental space for, you know, pretty cheap. And so, but yeah, no, it's just a great, but there's also, you drive around and there's a lot of green space. The parks are amazing. And there's a lot of people that they all, a lot of them have second homes up in the Northwoods, as you say, and they love that. I also love too, the Milwaukee area. My wife's family, her father's family had a place on Lake Okeechobee, which is, I think just past Oconomowoc. It's like a 25-minute drive from our house in Waukesha. Her mother's family had a place way up past Minocqua, I think it was, or past Rhinelander. And so she kind of had the best of, but I love that idea that you could just drive 25 minutes to your summer home, your cottage, you know, spend a day, get a day, or spend a night. And so I think, yeah, there's just a lot. And, you know, there's the fish fry. There's, you know, our love for cheese, Packers. And, you know, it's funny. Growing up in Orchard Park, New York, I probably have more connections to Packer Nation than most Milwaukee Packer fans do, because a lot of the great Packer legends did their coaching duties in Buffalo, like Jim Ringo, the Hall of Fame center. Elijah Pitts, his son Ron, another Packer, played high school football with my brother. So many others like that, that did their stints in Buffalo. So I got to know a lot of these guys. And, you know, I was a child of the 70s, and you had all those NFL highlight shows. Great Teams, Great Years was a series.
I love
and,
those.
Of course, the Packers were a big part of that. And so even though I was a Bills fan, the Packers, for many, you know, in many ways, were like my NFC team.
Yeah.
And, Magic was from Buffalo, too.
Magic?
Don Majkowski.
Oh, Don Majkowski.
Yeah.
Silly me. Magic. I went Magic Johnson. You're talking about
Magic Johnson was from Lanson. He was a Spartan like me. So yeah, I have connections to both Magics.
Nice. Hey, Don, we have about a minute left.
Okay.
We talked about TV and movies when I was on your show. I'd like to extend you the same courtesy. In under a minute, are you watching something you can recommend?
1923.
Yes.
Now that season two has finally come along. And it's really slow developing. Have you been watching it? You know what I mean?
No, I actually, I watched season one, loved it, but they're doing that thing where they drop one episode a week, and I hate that. So I'm letting
I know. I got to take a few weeks off or something. And,
yeah.
Start going to church. Oh,
and
our, I didn't say that.
One of the actors, Jamie McShane, was on
the
show.
Edit that out? No,
so I'm kind of letting my episodes build up, but that's on my list. I love
smart.
That show. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right to do that.
Hey, man. Best of luck with the podcast.
Thanks so much, Pete.
Keep bringing the truth to the people and shooting us straight. And it's just awesome having you on the show.
We'll figure out a Saturday in the spring sometime to have you on and talk about this Wisconsin state of mind.
I would absolutely love
that.
Say
hi to Rocker for me. And thank you to Conrad and, of course, to you, Pete. Thanks again.
You got it.
Julie, too.
Have a great night. Go belt out a tune on the piano there, Don. All right, Don Brown, check out This Week in Waukesha. Great show, and now a great podcast. We're coming right back after the news with the director of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. Sean Hanisch joins us next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we've got Angela Lang from Block here as our co-host for the day. Also, Representative Darren B. Madison, and This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark, and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The fire that knocked out power to London's Heathrow Airport is not considered suspicious, but it has caused a lot of headaches for travelers after an 18-hour shutdown. James Crothers was sleeping on his flight back to London when he felt his plane turn around.
We were told maybe there'll be flights again later, maybe not. But I mean, there's some people who I think won't be going back home until Monday.
Under pressure from the Trump administration to make policy changes or lose federal funding, Columbia University is making some changes. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
Columbia's interim president says the university will conduct a thorough review of regional studies programs, starting with the Middle East. Columbia will also bar protests inside academic buildings and wearing face masks on campus to conceal one's identity.
Tense moments in court late today in Washington as a judge accused the Trump administration of knowingly violating his orders as he reviews last weekend's deportation of 200-plus Venezuelan men to El Salvador. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.